Let's get to our next guest in Capital founding partner. Jennifer Zhu Scott joins me here on the set of the third and final day of the Bloomberg New Economy Forum. Great to have you with us, Jennifer. I think a lot of people have been sensing a little bit of euphoria, at least at the beginning of the week, that we saw Presidents Biden and Xi finally talk. We know that the US-China tech tensions have really been weighing on the overall investment picture. How much do the two superpowers really need to collaborate here?
Thank you for having me, Julia. Great to be here. It's a great question. The timing of the Bloomberg's New Economy Conference this year hasn't been better timing. With the framework that President Xi and Biden have laid out really provides a lot of substantial policies and business discussions to fit into this new framework that's more collaborative, seeking to coexist, and while embracing each other's differences. So I think this year, of course, there are some hard areas such as, you know, CHIP Act in terms of some trade issues, on climate, on Russia, on a lot of those issues. Actually, I think now it's on a much more collaborative tone, which is very good news. However, as Kissinger mentioned in the first day, with the framework is very important. The possibility of the bridge has been laid out, but if there's no substance following this framework, we will still get back to back at 0-1.
And it does sort of seem like tech decoupling, is accelerating. What does that mean when you look at the overall tech picture in terms of investability?
I think, unfortunately, we might see this kind of tech decoupling for a very long time, because if U.S. continue to define its interest as to maintain the dominance forever, while China, at the same time, with the largest market, with a ton of capital, and also with a few times more of engineering students graduating every year, it's impossible to just contain China to stop developing and innovating. For example, with the chip industry, China didn't really have a semiconductor industry properly, started only a couple of years ago. And I talked to some of the investors and founders in China. Some of them joke that the founder of China's semiconductor industry is actually Trump. So I do think this kind of decoupling will continue, and it will become more competition, vocalization of the two countries. Vocalization both in terms of technological vocalization, but also operating. We will see companies like TikTok has a very separate strategy for China and also outside of China.
Yeah.
For investment, of course, a lot of funds have started looking into a very separate strategy, how to bypass or how to navigate this kind of capital from this side of the pound Pacific to going to some of the tech company that side, and vice versa. However, I think it's not going to stop the activities. It's just making the world much more complex and less interoperable.
Well, interesting you bring up TikTok, because we look at user data and the like. I mean, we talk about good and bad tech. Where do you see the line being drawn there? Is there an example they can coexist together? I mean, there's also the connectivity of the world via a lot of these apps that particularly younger people are using.
Great question. I think it's we have to look at this good back tech in the kind of global lens and then China lens. There are some common ground, but also there are some differences. So globally, I do think we have come to the inflection point. The world realized this digital economy 1.0 with large social media companies not only just bring tremendous negative impact to youth, mental health, and also make the world much more polarized. I'm on the board of Web Science Trust, which was founded by Tim Berners-Lee himself, really, gather all those academics to every year we think about what is the function of internet and how internet should develop going future. And reflecting back in the 90s, that when internet was first invented, it was intended to be, transcending the national borders and international and democratizing information. But look at where we are today. And so I do think that globally, it doesn't matter in the Europe that the response mostly come from regulation. In US, the response usually come from antitrust. And in China, it's a very different response altogether. The world interpreted China's reaction to big tech as a cracking down tech, but the good tech, back tech context in China is a little bit different compared to this global lens, which is in China, I think the government does not regard those companies that basically gather hundreds of millions of people with a smartphone and provide this kind of digitalized daily activity as innovation anymore. Yeah. Especially a lot of those companies have a problem with monopoly or duopoly or, potentially providing systematic risk in financial market because they intend to bypass some of the regulation.
Yeah.
The innovation, the good tech in China, and it's just speaking from Chinese government's lens, the good techs are the deep tech. So they are actually very well defined areas such as quantum computing, AI machine learning.
Is that where you're investing? Because we're running out of time, but I do want to get an idea of where InCapital is investing.
Yes. We very much focus on deep tech, and the first three vertical we focus on climate tech using AI, blockchain, a lot of those technologies, but also we focus on AI as well. And right now these two verticals, we're spending a lot of time to figure out the nuances of the industry and also the nuances of all this new regulatory geopolitical environment. We're also investing Web3, but mostly on quant trading without touching crypto. I think crypto itself probably is dead for some years to come.
All right. And obviously needs a lot more regulation considering what we've seen recently as well. Thank you so much for your time, Jennifer Scott, the InCapital founding partner with me here on the third and final day of the Bloomberg New Economy Forum live from Singapore.